Our first lesson comes from a few places in the Bible. Listen for God's word. When an alien resides with you in your land, you shall not oppress the alien. The alien who resides with you shall be to you as the citizen among you. You shall love the alien as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it.
Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from Matthew's Gospel. Let us listen to Jesus as he says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. And then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and clothed you? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.' This is the word of God for the people of God."
Thanks be to God.
Well, it started last week. Some of us started coming back to church. Back to church after summer travels and vacations and pilgrimage. And some of us came back to in-person worship after 18 months online. Last Sunday, we welcomed folks back, both in person and online, for one worship service at 10:30 and then a picnic with an ice cream truck afterwards. Today, we welcome folks back to our two-service worship schedule, with worship services at 8 and 10:30, each followed by a coffee hour and some time for fellowship with each other. Next Sunday, we welcome folks back, both in person and online, to two worship services at 8 and 10:30, plus faith formation classes for all ages at 9:15. Let me tell you, last week, after just one hybrid worship service and the picnic, Chip and I could not believe how tired we felt. Don't get me wrong, we were thrilled to be back, singing and praying and laughing together, seeing people face to face. You could feel the change in the energy in the room here in the sanctuary, and someone said at the picnic that the sense of joy he felt was palpable. You could almost touch it. But especially for an introvert like me, that took a lot of energy and required me to use some different worship muscles that I haven't had to use for the last year and a half. I'm glad we had an extra week before jumping into two worship services because I need some time to rebuild my stamina and my Sunday morning muscles again. As you might guess, we are gradually reopening and welcoming folks back to life in the church as they are comfortable re-engaging, whether online or in person. But we are trying to get all of those Sunday morning muscles activated and built up again. After months and miles apart, after a lot of Sunday mornings on the couch sipping coffee. Just like when you're starting a new exercise routine, you don't try to run a marathon on the first day. So we are taking this reopening a few steps at a time, living into our new reality of what it means to be church together in light of changing circumstances, an ongoing pandemic, and numerous construction projects around the building as we enter the final phase of our capital campaign. So again, we appreciate your patience and your flexibility. And I'm still looking for more synonyms for those words. So feel free to put them in the chat or send them to me. As we pivot and adapt and keep moving forward together. Because although we may be taking a gradual approach, we are still moving forward. Forward in faith. Forward into the future to which God is calling us and leading us. This fall, as we regather and resume many parts of our church life, our journey is focused on three main goals: reconnecting, remembering, and recommitting ourselves to each other and the family of faith that we are here at First Presbyterian Church. We reconnect by gathering together in the best and safest ways we can, hopefully in person, to get to know each other again and to rebuild the sense of community and belonging that we have all missed so much over the last 18 months. As we reconnect, we will also remember who we are as followers of Jesus Christ, and we will recommit ourselves to the 6 ministry priorities that we identified 3 years ago and around which we continue to organize our life together. Those 6 priorities are radical hospitality, compelling worship, lifelong faith formation, intentional fellowship, inspirational stewardship, and transformational mission. There's going to be a prize next week for anybody who can tell me all of those by memory. We hope that you will join us for worship, for Sunday school, and for other faith formation opportunities, not just for the kids, but for these discussion groups on our books, for fellowship activities like Lunch Bunch this Wednesday, for mission and service activities like help working at the pantry or the Garden of Hope. And now I remember what the announcement was that I forgot to mention at the beginning of the service. We are looking for some people at noon next Saturday to help us put up a tent out behind the church. So if you're available Saturday at noon, please come help us. The tent that's up there right now is a rental tent, and we have a new one that we are looking forward to putting up. So that's what we need help for, too. We hope, however you join us, that you will join us as we all flex and build up our faith muscles again this fall. Today, we start with that first ministry priority. Anybody remember what it was?
Radical hospitality.
Right, radical hospitality. So I would imagine that we all have a pretty good idea what hospitality means, right? Making people feel welcome, being friendly, saying hi to visitors, maybe opening up our homes or preparing a meal or offering lodging to guests at our house. There's even a whole industry devoted to hospitality. On our travels out west this summer, we had the opportunity to sample lots of kinds of hospitality, from restaurants and hotels to visitor centers at national parks and museums. Now, because we are a family of 5 almost adult-sized people, we found it more cost-effective and comfortable on our month-long trip to stay in Airbnbs rather than hotels, because most of the time they offered us more space as well as a kitchen and laundry facilities. So it was kind of fun every 2 to 4 days whenever we moved to the next place to arrive. Sometimes it was a house, sometimes it was an RV, sometimes it was a condo or an apartment. But when we arrived, to see how our hosts welcomed us into their place of lodging. Nearly all of them had a welcome packet full of brochures and menus for local restaurants and information about the area. I especially enjoyed the big 3-ring binder that was on the kitchen counter of the trailer home in Page, Arizona. The first page said, "Welcome. We are so glad you are staying with us, unless you are a Dallas Cowboys fan." I didn't have a problem with that, but Chip didn't feel very welcome by that. Some hosts put special soaps and lotions and shampoos in the bathroom. Some had a cupboard full of games or a shelf full of DVDs that we could watch. Some left a basket of goodies like bottled water or microwave popcorn that we could use while we were there. My favorite place was the Stone Turtle Lodges in Cortez, Colorado, where the host left us a plate of fresh baked chocolate chip cookies, all individually wrapped for COVID safety, of course, but nonetheless, fresh homemade cookies. For us Christians, however, hospitality is more than just a marketing strategy to get five-star reviews, or good signage around the building, or common courtesy. It's actually a whole way of life and doing ministry. It's how we interact with one another, anyone who walks through our doors, and in fact, anyone we meet in the midst of our daily lives. As Robert Schnees writes in his book, Five Practices of Fruitful Congregations, hospitality is more than common politeness to newcomers, name tags for the greeters, or a few visitor parking spaces, although these are important. Hospitality is a quality of spiritual initiative, he writes, the practice of active and genuine love, a graciousness unaffected by self-interest, and the opening of ourselves and our faith community to receive others. To be hospitable is to be open and welcoming to others, no matter who they are or where they're from. It is to create space for more than just whom we expect or plan for or can think we can handle, but for whomever comes our way, whoever walks through our doors or seeks us out. Now, hospitality is an integral part of our faith story all the way through the Bible. From the book of Genesis, where Abraham and Sarah welcomed three strangers who brought them some very surprising news, all the way through the Old and New Testaments, as the disciples and then the early apostles traveled all over the known world, sharing their good news with anyone who would welcome them into their homes and their lives. But the Christian practice of hospitality is more than just being welcoming hosts. Notice that the ministry priority we are committed to is radical hospitality. What does that mean? What does radical hospitality mean? Well, contrary to what you may hear in the news today, the word radical comes from the Latin root radix, which means root or source or foundation. Radical hospitality isn't something that's out there on the edges. Radical hospitality arises from the very source of our being, the root or foundation of our lives, and that's God. God first showed hospitality to us by creating a universe and a planet, and after bringing us to life, placing us here in our new home. God delivered his people out of slavery and brought them to a new home in the Promised Land. Jesus welcomed everyone and made them part of his family, even though he didn't really have a home. The early church created faith communities that welcomed all kinds of folks, regardless of their gender, ethnicity, or social status. All throughout Scripture, all throughout history, all throughout our lives, God reaches out to us and welcomes us into God's loving embrace, God's healing grace and sustaining life. Radical hospitality is first and foremost rooted in God's hospitality toward us, which when we receive it, we are then able to share it with others. This is what our first scripture lesson, all those different verses, were all about. We welcome strangers because we were once strangers and God welcomed us. We love because God first loved us. Our second lesson from Matthew takes this even further. We welcome the stranger, we feed the hungry, clothe the naked, care for the sick, and visit the prisoner because we see the image of God and the face of Christ in each and every one of them. The Christian story is a story of welcome, welcoming the faithful and the unfaithful, the familiar and the stranger, the accepted and the outcast, the rich and powerful, and the least and the lost. Everyone, because we are all made in the image of God, and we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. As Barbara Brown Taylor notes, charity is no substitute for kinship. We are not called to be philanthropists or social workers or do-gooders, but brothers and sisters. We are called into relationship, even when that relationship is strange or unlikely or momentary or challenging or sad. We are called to look at each other and see Christ, who promises to be right there where our eyes meet and to teach us something that we need to know. One of my favorite stories about this kind of radical hospitality comes from Tony Campolo, who is a sociologist as well as a pastor and speaker and author and even a former spiritual advisor to President Bill Clinton. In his book, The Kingdom of God is a Party, Campolo tells about one time when he traveled to Honolulu for a speaking engagement. He was stricken with jet lag, and he was wide awake at 3 in the morning, so he went out in search of an all-night diner where he could get some coffee and a donut. He found a little greasy spoon on a side street. He went in and sat on the stool at the counter and placed his order. At about 3:30, the door opened, and in came a boisterous group of provocatively dressed prostitutes. Before he knew it, Campolo, this sociology professor and evangelical Christian, was surrounded by this group of women with their loud voices and rather risque conversation. Feeling completely uncomfortable and out of place, he quietly plotted to leave as inconspicuously as possible. Just before he was about to leave, however, Campolo overheard the woman next to him say that her birthday was tomorrow. Her friends just laughed, and one of them said sarcastically, "So what do you want from us, a birthday party? You want us to get you a cake and sing happy birthday?" Stung by her sarcasm, the woman answered, "Come on, why do you have to be so mean? I was just saying it was my birthday. I don't want anything from you. I've never had a birthday party in my whole life. Why should I have one now?" When he heard that, Tony Campolo made a decision. He waited until the women left, and then he called the guy behind the counter over. "Do they come in here every night?" he asked. "Yep," said the man, whose name was Harry. "Why do you care?" "Because I overheard the one sitting next to me say that tomorrow was her birthday. What do you say, you and me, we throw her a birthday party tomorrow night?" Harry smiled and said, "You know, it's not a bad idea. Her name is Agnes." And he went and called to his wife, who was the cook back in the kitchen, and he told her, and she loved it. She said, "Oh, that's such a great idea. Agnes is one of those people who is really nice and kind, but nobody ever seems to do anything nice for her." So they planned the party. Campolo came back the next night at 2:30 a.m. to decorate the diner with streamers and balloons and a big sign that read, "Happy Birthday, Agnes." The cook made the birthday cake and spread the word out on the streets. By 3:15, the diner was full with what must have been every unsavory character in Honolulu. At 3:30 on the dot, the door swung open, and in came Agnes with her friend. Everybody shouted, "Happy birthday!" and then they sang to her. She was so flabbergasted and stunned and shaken that she almost passed out. She was so overcome with joy and delight that she didn't even want to blow out the candles on the cake. She sat there with tears in her eyes, just staring at it. Finally, Harry blew out the candles for her and handed her a knife to cut the cake. Hesitantly, Agnes asked if she could wait just a little bit longer to savor the moment. "Sure," Harry said, "take all the time you want. Keep the cake if you want to." "Really?" she said. "Sure. I just live 3 blocks away. If you all just wait right here, I'm going to take the cake home and then I'll come back." And that's what she did. She got up off her stool and, holding that cake like it was the Holy Grail, she left the diner. There was an awkward silence in the diner after she left, and being a good evangelical Christian, Tony Campolo suggested that maybe they should have a prayer. So after he prayed, the guy behind the counter said, "Hey, you never told me you were a preacher. What kind of church do you belong to?" In a moment of inspiration, Tony Campolo answered, I belong to a church that throws birthday parties for hookers at 3 o'clock in the morning. Harry scoffed, no, you don't. There is no such thing as a church like that. If there was, I would join it. I would join a church like that, he said. Radical hospitality offers the radical love of God, the love that comes from the very root and source of who God is, the same love that we have received ourselves and can now offer to others. We don't reach out to others because we need more members or more money or because we will be rewarded with a heavenly reward later. We reach out because throughout the ages, God has continually reached out to us. We love others because God first loved us. We feed the hungry because God feeds us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation. We take care of the earth and we work for clean drinking water because God has given us living water in Jesus Christ. We welcome strangers because God has welcomed all of us, imperfect, self-centered human beings, often separated from God and one another through our own brokenness and sin. We clothe the naked because God has clothed us all in the robes of new life in Christ. We take care of the sick and we visit the prisoner because God has healed our sin-sick souls and freed us from prisons of addiction and despair and all of the limits of death. In response to the saving, healing, liberating grace of God in Jesus Christ, Christ calls us to reach out and offer the very same thing. Not just to the people who walk in our doors here, but to all of the people that we encounter on our journey through our neighborhoods and our communities, our schools and our workplaces, our nation and our world. This fall, as we journey together to reconnect, to remember who we are, and to recommit to our ministry priorities, radical hospitality is the one that undergirds and overarches and runs through everything we do here as a church, and hopefully everything we do in our individual lives too. From Sunday school to taking care of the building and the property, from worship to serving at the food pantry, from coffee hour to our community groups, we invite others to experience and enjoy the same love and grace that we have received from the very source of our lives and our life together. As we flex our faith muscles again this fall, let's open our arms and our hearts to receive God's gift and to offer it to others. Amen.